We're going next to one of the many places in the world where armed groups rely on child soldiers. They're often stolen from their homes. They often witness the deaths of their family members as they're taken away, so they know there's no going back. They undergo swift and brutal indoctrination, which makes them terrified to escape. There's no getting out. And in the time that it would normally take for one child to be born and grow up to go to college, a rebel army operating in northern Uganda is believed to have stolen more than 20,000 children. NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports.
There are children's stories, and then there are stories about children that they should almost never hear. In northern Uganda, a rebel group called the Lord's Resistance Army has been fighting the government since the late 1980s. Both sides have used dirty tricks in this war, but the rebels have been the cruelest of thieves. They have replenished their forces by stealing other people's sons and daughters, other people's brothers and sisters, schoolmates and best friends. Meet Nyati Ati and Samuel Amoyne. They're about the same age, late 20s, early 30s. They're both born and raised in northern Uganda. Nyati Ati lives with a new husband, three children, and 17,000 others at a camp for displaced people outside the city of Kitgum. Samuel Amoyne works in Kitgum as a security officer for an international aid organization. He is not married, and he lives in a little village just outside town. Ati and Amoyne have never met, but they were both child soldiers in the Lord's Resistance Army. He volunteered. She did not. Amoyne will go first. He's got more explaining to do.
Being that child who was very inquisitive, I wanted to join the rebel movement at the age of 9. It was so good experience. They train you on how to roll on the ground and many army tactics. And they teach you like songs, like La Chaka Chaka Mono Bon, when Mato Romo Pen, Dow Baker, Warachare, Wadulu, and you're a manager. See?
It was the late 1980s, and for the most part, the rebels treated Amoyne the way he should have been treated, like a child. But by the early 1990s, the rebels had hardened, and Nyati Ati's experience could not have been more different. She was 12 years old when
the LRA came at night and got me while I was sleeping, the same night they killed 60 people in my village. When they came, my brothers kind of resisted the abduction. They killed two of them, and they killed my uncle.
Amoyne's grandmother put an end to his allegiance to the Lord's Resistance Army. She said he needed to spend more time on chores at home. But he apparently spent the rest of his youth running up trees and into tall grass when the rebels raided his village. Amoyne managed to elude abduction, but many of his friends were caught in a terrible bind. That's because rebel training has a body count. Those who escape the bush all tell the same story.
Once you're abducted, you're given 200 strokes on the buttocks. Or sometimes after this 200 strokes, you kill someone. You refuse to kill, that one kills you.
I actually participated in killing one of the girls we were abducted with. She tried to escape, and we decided to shoot her. Afterwards, we were forced to hold the dead body and make it stand again. That was to strengthen our heart, so we would never try to escape. That was the intention.
Plenty of children become accustomed to living in the bush. Some even like it. But Amoyne says there's no room for mistakes or complaints.
You can move for 2 days without rest, without eating. Whatever you get on the way, there's wild fruits, and that's what you live on. And it's worse when you are just a new abductee. You don't have access to food you're given once in a while. It's really hard. It's really hard. And once you claim, I'm tired, you know, when you walk some distance barefooted in the bush, you have thorns pricking your legs, you have wounds, cuts, and they said, you begin limping. You said, you're limping, so you cannot move. Put that one to rest. They say, like, in a funny way, they said, oh, this one is tired. Let's have him rest while we continue. You think what it means by resting? Killing you. So endure the pain. Because once you show up that you have a wound or you're limping, you're finished.
The rebels marched Nyati Ati from Uganda to southern Sudan and back for 13 years.
We were always on the run because the Ugandan People's Defense Forces kept on following us for attacks. So we kept on moving to various villages.
She also got married, sort of, to a rebel whom she still dislikes, a man with a temper and 25 other wives in the bush. They had 3 children. She tried to escape a couple of times and was beaten so badly on the back with a machete that she still has the scars. But sometimes the best thing that can happen to a child soldier in an unhappy marriage is a firefight. And that's exactly what happened to Nayati Ati.
I was on the eastern side of the Kitgum district when a helicopter gunship attacked us, and 6 of us women escaped. It was the gunship that caused confusion. One of my children was on foot, one was on my back, and one I was carrying in my arms, and I managed to find my way out.
The Lord's Resistance Army and the Ugandan government signed a ceasefire agreement last August, and since then the North has been relatively quiet. But the ceasefire ended this month, and both Ati and Amoyne expect trouble.
First, they will move back to their former bases, resettle. Food raid definitely will start. And normally when they get food stuff, they have to find somebody to carry those food off to their bases. They have that. And when they need merchandise, the ambushes definitely will follow.
Amoyne trusts his gut on this, the same gut that has helped him elude capture over the years, despite several attempts. He makes it his business not to be taken by surprise. After all, in these parts, the name Amoyne means born in the time of war. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Kitgum, Uganda. Thank you.